Please turn in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to be reading from the Word of God, the 6th chapter, the verses 17 to the verse 25. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, commencing to read the Word of God from verse 17 through 25, continuing our studies in this portion of the Word of God. And he, that is Jesus, came down with them, that's the disciples or the apostles, and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for the power came out from him and healed them all. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are now full, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." There we end our reading of God's Word. Last Lord's Day morning, we considered together the verses 12 through 26. I want this morning to look in particular detail at the verses 24 to 26. I want specifically to speak to those of you who are here today, who are described in these verses as being rich, as full, that's F-U-L-L, and those who expect all to speak well of you. I want to speak specifically to you today because God in His mercy has allowed you, has permitted you to see another day. And not just another day, another day when you yet again have the extraordinary privilege of hearing the truth about the perilous status of your condition before God. You are uniquely privileged this day. For there are many in this country and in this town who need to hear what you will hear this morning. But God has not, as yet, given them that privilege. And I would exhort you prayerfully to listen and to hear what God has to say. I want to speak to you because God is gracious. And the message that you will hear has a purpose. And that purpose is to drive you into the arms of Jesus Christ. Let me speak to you who are rich. Well, you might look around yourself this morning and say, well, who's rich in here? In material terms, who are rich in this congregation? In many ways, we are rich when we're compared relatively to many in the world who have absolutely nothing and are materially destitute. In terms, though, of many in the Western culture, we're not very rich. Many of us are just getting by, as it were. But regardless of whether we see ourselves as being materially rich comparative to many in the world or materially poor in relative to others, it doesn't really matter. Because when Jesus here is speaking of the rich, he's not speaking in terms of money. He's not speaking in terms of material possessions. He's not speaking in terms of what we own. Jesus is speaking here to the rich who have an attitude of heart which says, I have all I need when it comes to God in my life. I don't need any more from God. There were undoubtedly people in the multitude who had gathered to hear Jesus on this day who, from their perspective, were in a good place relative to God. They were religious. They were, after all, coming out to hear this rabbi speak. There were traditions, many of them, that they would have kept. They would have viewed themselves as being good, honest, decent people. And there they stand in front of Jesus, not at the front, but at the back. They're at the back of this huge multitude of people. They're at the back because although they want to hear what God has to say, in a sense, they're not there to hear what Jesus has to say per se. They're there because they are part of the crowd. And there's an interest that has been generated through the ministry of Jesus, through the demonstration of his power in the miracles, and through the authority of his preaching that has gathered in many people. People have talked about the healing power of this man, and they've talked about how he preaches and the authority of that preaching, and how it doesn't tickle ears, but how it grabs the heart, it feeds the mind and ministers to the soul. And there are many there who want to see and hear and experience what this is all about. But they're not there really to listen to what Jesus has to say. They're there, if you will, because they see it as a spectacle, and they are observing it as one who is being entertained. They have enough of God in their life. They're not coming seeking. They're not asking the question, where is God? They're not demanding of Jesus, give me the words of life. They're quite satisfied with their lives. They're quite content with their religious tradition. There's no yearning and earnestness. There's no seeking and pursuing after God. They're not in a blessed state. Are you rich in that sense this morning? We're not talking about your material wealth. But are you rich in the eyes of God in the sense that as far as you're concerned, you have all you need from God? That your presence here on a Sunday is sufficient for you. That there is no need for you in your life to really ask the searching questions about who God is, about who you are and about your need of salvation. You are content. In many ways, you're at ease. It's a pleasant thing to come here on a Sunday and talk to people. They're friendly. They take an interest in you. Are you satisfied that that's all that there is to it? If you are, if your level of desire is satisfied by your mere physical presence and people's genuine but general interest in you, then God says you are rich because you don't see that you need him and you're satisfied in your own eyes. You have all you need in yourself. Do you know what Jesus says about you this morning? He says to you, woe, woe, danger, danger. For you have received your consolation. You have received in your attitude all that you're going to receive. And the reality is, that as far as God is concerned, you have received all that you're going to receive from him. And you are bound for that place that is marked by absolute, abject poverty. Absolute, abject poverty. You are rich because you have this attitude about God that says that you are all right. But the true condition of your heart is one that's marked by extreme and imminent danger. Because God will not have you live on this earth for all eternity. God will bring your life to an end. And you will have received all the consolation you're going to receive from God in this life, during the existence of this life. And you're going to be taken from this earth, and you're going to be ushered into a place of absolute and abject poverty. One day Jesus Christ will come to you and he will say to you, depart from me, you cursed. And you will say, but I did this and I said this and I went here and I went there. And Jesus Christ will say to you, that is of no consequence. Depart from me, I did not know you. And Jesus says that you will be banished into a place of everlasting destruction. A place of eternal darkness. Not just darkness because there'll be no physical light, but darkness because there will be a complete and utter absence of the life-giving, holy, glorifying presence of God. You see, you're rich now because you think you don't need anything more from God. And maybe when I say to you this morning, maybe when I say to you, that you're in a dangerous and perilous position because you could be ushered into, at any given moment, that place of absolute poverty where God will not be. You will say, well, that's okay, I can live with that. But you don't understand what you're saying. You're not grasping the fact that everything in your life now comes from God. The very health, the very life that you own now is from God himself. The fact that you got up this morning is because God enabled you to get up. The fact that you have breath in your body at this moment is because God has given you breath in your body. The fact that you are being sustained is because God is sustaining you. The fact that you will eat and drink is because God causes the sun to rise and the sun to set, that God sends the snow and the rain, that brings nutrients and brings life to the seeds that are in the ground, that produces the food for you to eat. Everything you see that is in your life, that you feel is rich enough now, that is good and valuable, kind and gracious, beneficial, comes from God. And although you may feel that you are rich in that and that's all you need, that is all you have. And the consolation you have now in your life will come to an end and you will be ushered into that place where the loving, gracious providence and presence of God will not be present. And you think you have all you need now in terms of your own personality. But you see, in this place of woe, this place of destruction, your personality and your being will be utterly destroyed. You'll become a contemptible, unspeakable, loathsome, wicked individual. And the person who will despise you the most will be yourself. Will be yourself. You will loathe being who you are. You will loathe being the person that you are. And so the richness that you have now, because you think you have all you need and you don't need God, and you're satisfied with your life as it is because you have all you need in yourself. Woe, Jesus says to you, because there's a day coming when all that God is giving you now, that you don't thank Him for or appreciate, it will be taken from you. And that personality and that being that you are now, that is satisfying you, that will become a contemptible, unpleasant, unloving person. Woe to you. But it's just not that you are rich. Jesus says, woe to you who are full now. Woe to you who have no need of God in your life. Woe to you who are satisfied with this outward routine of religious activity. Woe to you who have no genuine, loving desire to seek God. Woe to you who have no want of God and His Word. Woe to you who have no want of communion with God and fellowship with God. Woe to you. Woe to you who are fully satisfied with the absence of the reality of God in your life. Woe to you, because although you are full now, although you are satisfied now with the outward trappings of religion, although you are content now with coming to church, although you are content with conversing with people who are Christians, although you are content with the outward semblance of Christianity, woe to you, because there's a day coming when you will be hungry in a way that you have never experienced on earth. You will be hungry for the loving presence of God, which is giving you everything now. You will be hungry because God will be present with you, not lovingly, not graciously, not blessing you, not causing the sun to rise and the sun to set over you, not providing for you on a daily basis, not giving you the health that you have. He will be present with you, but he will be present with you in an angry sense. In an angry sense. The idea that God has created hell and that he will not be there, and that those who have despised God will go to this place and they'll dwell in this place apart from God, is not biblically true. Hell is not a place that God has created where he will close the door and walk away from and throw the key so that no one can find it. This place that God has created for the punishment of the devil and those who fell with him before the creation, or those who fell with him after the creation, those who walk against God will go there, and they will go there to experience not simply the absence of God's love, but they will go there and they will experience the angry, angry presence of God for all eternity. They will not experience his light. They will not experience his love. God says that he hates the sinner. Not just the sin. God says that the sinner is an abomination to him. Speaking of men who do not love him, he says in Ezekiel, I will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. Woe to you who are fully satisfied now with this barren, empty mockery of a relationship with God. Woe to you if you sit and have your ears tickled, but not your souls moved. Woe to you if your heart is satisfied, not even with the crumbs that fall from the master's table, but just the vision of those crumbs. Do you hear what God says to you this morning? I will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. You shall be hungry. You shall cry out to be fed by the loving presence of God. You shall weep that God would come and that he would lift you out. But God says, though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. My friends, this morning, if you are full with the emptiness of godless worship, there's coming a day when you will be hungry. There's coming a day when you will cry out to be fed. And he will not hear you. His ears will be closed to you. Woe to you who laugh now. Laugh in the sense of seeing life's pleasures and what the world gives to you. You may be sitting here this morning, and you're meek and you're mild and you're gentle. But in reality, your joy in life is found in the playing with the world at its game. You laugh with the world. You laugh with the world on the internet. You laugh with the world through your television. You laugh with the world at your workplace. You laugh at the idea in reality that Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer of God's elect. That truth does not truly grab your soul. You laugh at it. You may not laugh at it with guffaws of laughter, but you laugh at it because you refuse to accept it. You refuse to accept the truth concerning the desperateness of your need of salvation. You laugh at it because you're not prepared to say to God, I am a sinner. I am in need of real salvation. You laugh at it because you say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but you are not willing to submit yourself to the authority of God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may not openly laugh, but in your heart of hearts, you are laughing and you scoff. You may even sit at a Met Bible study and speak of how they treated Jesus on the day before he was put on the cross. You may sit there and you may be emotionally moved when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ and they stripped him of his clothes. You may actually feel some emotion to him as a human being as they spat upon him and as they wound that crown of thorns and placed in his head. You may think, why did they put the purple robe upon him and why did they tease him and mock him as Jesus, King of the Jews? There may be an emotional affinity between you and him as a human being, but in the truth of the search of the heart, the reality is deep down within you, there is a total denial of the fact that he is the only Savior and that he will be your Savior. And you're laughing at God and you're laughing at Jesus. And they stood here in this day and they listened to Jesus and they weren't laughing at Jesus as he was healing these people. They weren't laughing at Jesus as he was preaching and his teaching. But he could see their hearts. He could read their hearts. They were laughing in the sense of saying, I have all I need. I am all that I want to be. I don't need this idea that I am a sinner and I'm in need of salvation. I don't need this idea of repentance. I don't need this faith. I don't need Jesus Christ. They were laughing at him. Inside they were laughing. And he says to them, woe to you, for you shall mourn and you shall weep. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. When those who laughed are ushered into that place of agonizing pain. That place of eternal punishment. Unquenchable fire. Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell. To the unquenchable fire. You will mourn. And you will weep. And the mourning and weeping that you experience will never end. You will mourn because of the loss of your dignity. The worm does not die. The conscience will not get release. Isaiah speaks of the mourning in the battlefield when the dead were left out unburied. And their bodies would lie there eaten by the worms and the maggots. That's the human experience. A body that's eaten but never consumed. A mind that is disturbed but never becomes deranged. A soul that receives the punishment that never ends. You may laugh now, but woe to you, because there is weeping and mourning coming. A weeping that will never be wiped away. A mourning that will never, ever end. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. False prophets in the Old Testament told the people what they wanted to hear. Everybody spoke well of them. You like people to speak well of you. You seek to please everybody and upset no one. You never take a stand for Jesus Christ. You never choose right from wrong. You choose what will please the most people. You choose that which is most convenient and most acceptable. Not to Christ, but to you and your perception of what people will think of you. Woe to you. Woe to you. For you will go to that place, experience that place, an appalling prospect forever and ever and ever and ever, where no one will ever speak well of you. You will go there and you will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. You know what it's like not to be able to go to sleep at night, or to waken up in the middle of the night and not be able to get back to sleep. So the clock stands still. You watch the hands or the digits on the clock, and they seem just to slowly make their way around. All people speaking well of you on earth. All people observing you and saying of you that you are a character who is acceptable and pleasant and kind. A character who never says anything to disturb anyone. When people speak well of you in the context of the world, when people don't see any reason to take any umbrage at what you do because you're doing the right thing, then woe to you, because there's coming a day when you will share that place with the false prophets who denied the truth of God and led the people in the way that was false. Woe to you, because the prospect that awaits you is unspeakably horrendous. You are rich now. You are full and satisfied now. You laugh now. You like all people to speak well of you now. Consider the absolute poverty that awaits you. Consider the angry presence that will never answer your cries for food. Consider the weeping and the mourning and the gnashing of teeth, the agonizing pain that will put all thoughts of laughter completely from your conscious awareness. Consider that it will never, ever, ever end. And you will be with those who thought you're well to be well spoken of. You will be with them. And you will not be with the blessed. You will not be
with the blessed. Have you any hope? Is there anything you can do? Well, you can hunger for God. You can acknowledge your poverty without God. You can weep now for your sin. And you can come to Jesus Christ. You can come to Jesus Christ. You can acknowledge you are a sinner. You can declare to God your desperate, desperate need of salvation. You can plead with Him to bring you from death to life. You can express your utter hopelessness and helplessness before God. You can cry out to Him. And if He is merciful and gracious, He will receive you. And He will change your life forever. Forever. And your lot will not be the lot that I've explained to you this morning. It will be a glorious lot. It will be a glorious reality. It will be a reality of peace, joy, contentment, blessing. It will be a lot that's marked with a living, vibrant, eternal relationship with God. Will you hear the woe and run to Christ? By God's grace, may you do so. Amen.